Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Evolution is more than a theory. It is a fundamental scientific principle.
You know, there's a scientific term for that.
It's called baloney.
And we are so stupid that we think that just because telephones and computers and cars are intelligently designed, that means we are too. Well, we're not.
I don't trust that Richard Dawkins.
In the beginning, God created heaven and the earth is the only logical explanation, unless you don't want to believe in science and logic.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Oh, no. Have I apostatized? This is Wretched Radio in my never-before-nicotine-stained fingers. A helpful article from, hurts a little to say, The Gospel Coalition, How Avatar Taps into Gen Z's Core Longings. But in my other set of non-nicotine-stained fingers, a Trevin Wax, I found the Trevin Wax article.
Okay.
Yep, it was in The Gospel Coalition.
Ah, so you...
Oh. I've apostatized, apparently, Gen Z and the draw to serious faith. Let's tackle Avatar first. Then let's hear an encouraging word from Trevin Wax, who has identified what I do believe is a trend these days. The kids, they want something serious. They want something big. They want something lofty. They want something Pandora, which is what the article by Genevieve Robbie addresses, how Avatar taps into Gen Z's core longings. One, my generation wants to escape from their bodies. Apparently, the story is it's a guy, and he is, I think, a quadriplegic, or he's somehow not able to function fully, and he operates as an avatar by using his brain, sort of like what Elon Musk is creating, to perform and to be in a place that isn't his body, but it kind of feels like his body because it's functioning and his brain is allowed to operate it. That's my understanding. And the observation from this journalist is that's the kids these days. They want out of their current bodies. They believe that their current body is deficient. They want another body. And her comment correctly stated is, you're going to get one. It's going to, by the way, it's going to be the same body made for eternity. God is interested in the body. We can echo that sentiment with the Gen Zers. Oh, yeah, absolutely. You see, we don't believe in just some spiritual realm. But we don't believe in a merely physical realm. We're dualistic in that regard, body and soul. God cares about the body. We have a word to speak. And speaking of bodies, did you know that the body of Jesus Christ was brutally executed? And he died, and he rose again, and he still has a body? You've got something to look forward to. We can speak to their longings. Longing number two, my generation wants to escape from the planet. This most striking part of the Avatar films is the gorgeously rendered world of Pandora's glowing, shimmering, unspoiled nature. They revere their planet. It's the mother. Avatar's core conflict is the protection of this pristine, Edenic world from the abuses of human invaders. Is it any wonder why so many young people, they've made their religion green? It's the mother. They need something. They want something. They have been told that mother is God. Well, don't we have Earth Day coming up? That I believe Earth Day is coming up. If not, I missed it. Where we worship the planet. Human longing for unspoiled paradise is as old as the fall, but Pandora's Edenic aesthetic is especially appealing to a Gen Z audience given our growing environmental anxiety. They are in a panic. There are kids who are literally afraid to get married and have children because this place is just going to burn up. They've been terrified because of supposed climate change. Viral TikToks made by and for Gen Z declare climate change will reduce the world's beauty into an apocalyptic wasteland. Every good deed seems wasted, doomed to be undone. Guess what? They're right. The planet is going to be burned up, but not by man, by God, as he makes it new. Revelation 21:5, behold, I'm making all things new. One day, Romans 8:21, creation will be set free from its bondage to corruption and attain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. We should have anticipated that this is how this generation would feel. Why? Because the Bible actually addresses these issues. And when we aren't giving them the answers to the questions that they're asking, they go looking to Avatar? Apparently so. Number three, my generation wants to escape from loneliness. The people who live on Pandora. Navi? Idyllic tribal unity. Greeting each other by saying, here's contemporary therapeutic language. I see you. Everybody understands me. My wants, my needs, my hurts. This has the connotation of fully understanding the other through the eyes of love. Melissa Manchester aside, my generation is facing a loneliness epidemic. Most relationships maintained over social media, where we only display curated versions of ourselves. We're physically isolated. Is there any place where people can go to not be physically isolated, where they can be seen, where they can be known, and where they can be loved? Warts and all. I don't know. Maybe a local church. We have the fulfillment of the longings of this generation. But this is what happens when we turn youth group into pizza parties and dumb it down, which leads us back to Gen Z and the Draw to Serious Faith by Trevin Wax. Quote, listen to Gen Z churchgoers today and you'll hear conversations about powerful worship songs that facilitate an experience with God, about the realness of the preacher who just tells it like it is from the Bible, and about the beauty of church architecture and older traditions and recitations. This is why Candace Owen ran away. I'm convinced of it. Yeah, she married a Roman Catholic husband. But this connectedness to the ancient is huge. And young people that are going to Protestant evangelical churches, they're digging the old confessions, the old statements of faith. They're reading these statements that were written by believers centuries ago and going, yeah, I'm connected to that. When young people accept the invitation to visit a church, they've already committed to experiencing something unusual. Attempts at being overly accommodating or making the church seem cool come off as desperate and insecure. If your ministry, writes Wax, is seeker-sensitive and attractional today, remember that churchiness of church is a draw, not a turnoff. And that would go for architecture. That would go for buildings that are different, that even the untrained eye recognizes. That's beautiful. That's transcendent. That's elevating. That's bigger than me. That's what a church building can do, and the kids are digging it. Wax, unfortunately, many pastors have yet to figure this out. Too many churches still think the way to reach young people is to replicate the entertainment you can get elsewhere, or lean into social activism. That's what the kids are doing. They want a cause. They want to feel a part of something. Young people are swimming in pools of superficiality with torrents of information flooding through their magical devices, adrift in a sea without navigation, in a world where moral strictures have been blown up. In the name of freedom, many long for paths of formation, growth, and maturity. Find them and bring them to a church that's sober-minded. I didn't say dour and depressed. I said that's alive and vibrant and loving. I have to confess to you, this is going to sound like it's self-serving. Well, because it probably is. But nevertheless, the fact is our church, Alpharetta Bible Church, That's what we all talk about. This is family. We come together. The church service ends and it's like 2 hours later. I guess we should like leave and like eat, because we just want to stay and talk. That's the local church, loving one another. And I agree with the people who see that the old hymns, they seem so depressed. Well, if the people aren't singing them with vigor, that's an indicator of a different issue, but it is not a critique of the contents of those wonderful hymns, which the kids are actually liking because they're bigger and they're smart and they're thoughtful and not so repetitive. Previous iterations of attractional ministry, writes Wax, too often made discipleship the fine print at the bottom of the gospel presentation. Today, if you want to attract young people, lead with the fine print. And that is exactly what Jesus did. How do I know I preached on it Sunday morning? Did I mention Alpharetta Bible Church? That Jesus, with the scribe, hey, I'll follow you anywhere. That's the emphasis. I'll go anywhere. Do you know Son of Man doesn't have a bed? Foxes have holes. I ain't got nothing. You want to come? Deny yourself. Pick up your cross. Follow me. That's up front. And what did it do? It apparently gleaned out an enthusiastic follower who was one of the three soils that wasn't genuine. Jesus did that up front, and he did it constantly. Put your hand to the plow. Let the dead bury the dead. Your love for me should make your love for your parents seem like hatred by comparison. Those were the messages up front. And guess what? Not only are we being biblically when we do that, the kids these days, they're digging it because it calls them up to something and they recognize there's more here than just a pizza party. This is Wretched Radio.
Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. As you know, we're living in a time where the foundations of our society are crumbling. That's why we're building a Christian version of the Daily Wire. We're bringing in 8 new powerful voices to invade Christian media with the truth of God's Word. We're currently in the middle of a $250,000 match campaign, which means every dollar you're able to give will be doubled. You can find out more right now at wretched.org/fellows. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
I'm so excited about this. That's right. I'm actually giddy about Bibles. We are going to be doing another campaign with our good friends at the Masters Academy International. We're going to be sending MacArthur Study Bibles to places that, for various reasons, don't have study Bibles. The amazing Masters Academy International, don't forget they've got the mini seminaries around the globe training indigenous pastors. You can learn more at wretched.org/Bible.
Okay, so imagine that you're inside of a maze, and every corner that you take, there's another wall, there's another obstacle. But then imagine a different scenario. You're still inside that maze, but every corner you take is a guide who has a flashlight and is saying, nope, that's the right way to go. We welcome you to Transformed with Dr. Greg Gifford. New episodes drop every Saturday morning in your favorite podcast spot or at transformed.org/podcast.
Who will speak for those who are staggering to the slaughter? Seems like right now would be a good time to encourage you to support Preborn Ministries. They're in the game. They're working hard to save babies and save mommies and daddies with the gospel. So if you are energized about life, that's something you can do. You can support Preborn. Preborn.org/wretched.
As you know, we've been sharing with you, 8 new powerful voices will soon be joining the fold. It's our biggest and boldest move yet. Imagine a Christian version of the Daily Wire. Well, that is what's on its way. But here's where you come in. We need your help to make this vision a reality. We're in the middle of a $250,000 match campaign. Every dollar you give will be double. We know you have questions and we have answers available right now at wretched.org/fellows.
If you're familiar with the Tomorrow Club's outstanding ministry, oh, what a testimony. Eastern Europe, Africa, poor, poor, poor places. The Tomorrow Clubs go in, they assemble the kids every week, preach the gospel, have them memorize the Bible, sing songs, love on them, give them some treats. It has been an outstanding ministry for over 20 years. If you can support it, would commend them to you by visiting tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Important dates in Christian history. 800 AD. Charlemagne, the grandson of Charles Martel, is crowned emperor by the Pope on Christmas. He ushered in the Carolingian Renaissance, which advanced the church, education, and culture in the Holy Roman Empire.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Double the pleasure, double the fun. Welcome back to Double Mint Wretched Radio. Two offerings for your consideration that I hope you will enjoy. Number one, be looking for our YouTube video on the 10 reasons. I think it's 10. A lot of reasons why the kids are behaving the way that they are on university campuses. I do believe it is helpful in that we can offer them something to fill that void. No, I'm not talking about seeker sensitivity, where Jesus becomes the stopgap to make sure that you feel full on the inside. No, but Christianity does speak into the longings of a generation. It's so obvious. They want something to be a part of. Hello? Hello, we're over here. And all we need to do is get to the university campuses. Besides, the university campuses, which have been a hotbed of liberalism for decades, are still just about the last bastion of freedom for evangelism. Yeah, sometimes the police will overreach, but overall, you can engage the kids. And it has been my experience over the decades, the kids want to talk. In fact, going back to the Trevin Wax article that I was reading, that Gen Z wants a serious faith. The kids don't want it watered down, and Jesus never did that. It's so staggering. I mean, you almost have to turn it into almost, of course, not like potty talk, but just crude language to get the point. Jesus is preaching. He did the Sermon on the Mount. He's doing miracles. We have three of them recorded, and then a bunch of other healings that aren't described, and demon possessions, they're being cast out. And then just like, boink, where did this come from? Jesus saying to the scribe who said, I'll follow you anywhere. I don't have a bed. I don't have a pillow. That's what you're in for. Please note, the gospel has no demands. The gospel is a gift, but the demands of discipleship, we need to be ready to pay the price. Isn't that what he was saying in the Beatitudes? After he gives a descriptor of what a true Christian is, blessed are those who mourn for their sin, etc. What can we expect from that persecution? Those who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. We got to act like Jesus and tell people. But then we need to tell them why he is worthy of our surrendering of self. Because he's the cause. Jesus isn't a cause. He's the cause. Young people need to hear this. That Jesus Christ is the reason for everything that we experience in reality. Everything, including you. Let me show you how. Let me show you what this faith is actually about. And I'm telling you, they are like empty vessels. They will guzzle it down. Let me take you back. This is well worth hearing, because if you've been flirting with seeker sensitivity or thought, hey, we need to kind of lighten up church a little bit. We need to show people that, you know, we're just regular folk, which, fine, but that shouldn't water down the sobriety of church and the call of the disciple to bigger things, to greater things, to grander things, to excellent things. Yes, Jesus wants it all. He demands it all. But wow, this shouldn't feel like, well, he's kind of putting a gun to my head. No. Well, okay, there's eternal judgment, but what he wants to offer you is good. He wants to offer you the best. You and I, we have a tendency to desire the lowest things. They're not bad things necessarily, but that it's like, that's getting my belly full, having a really good meal, watching my Netflix, just enjoying my weekend. Nothing wrong with any of those things. Jesus just wants better. Jesus wants the best stuff for us. Is he worthy? Well, let's see. Is he worthy? Well, there was nobody else could break the seal to open the scroll that contained the deed to planet Earth. Oh, yeah, Jesus is worthy. He's worthy because he's the best, and the blessings that flow from doing it his way. Oh, if you happen to be young, I the world is just exploding in front of you in so many ways, and you're trying to sort it. I'm telling you, do it Jesus way and you'll chart your course. It'll make sense of everything. But here's the challenge. You're going to have to deny yourself. You're living for your lustful desires. Gone. Jesus doesn't want those as a part of his package. He wants you to kill those things because they're not good the way you're doing them. They're good, but not the way you're doing them. So he's going to say, stop doing that way. Start doing it this way because this is the better way. And you don't know what profound is until you do it his way. His way is just, there's a couple in our church, 42 years of marriage, 42 years of marriage, had dinner with them on Saturday night. Just absolutely delightful. That's a better thing. That's a more excellent way. That doesn't happen by itself. Jesus has taken them there. And they enjoy sweet things you can't imagine. You can't imagine at the moment. So what you'll have to do is trust God when he says, do it my way. It's the best way because he only wants the best for us. That is his desire. Commit to him. Do not be the Psalm 1 double-minded man. This is so common these days, and I get it. I get it. You don't want the world to think you're dorky. So you kind of keep a foot over there just to be, you know, kind of cool. And then you got a foot in Christendom. And that's a deception. You don't have a foot in Christendom. You have both feet in the world because you're unstable in all of your ways. Commit. Be the man who loves the law of the Lord, who does what it says. And guess what the promise is? You'll be like a tree planted by the river. That is the promise that Jesus Christ gives to you when you die to self and live for him, the better way to live. And that message is resonating. And Trevin Wax talks about it in his article, Gen Z and the Draw to a Serious Faith. To be clear, seriousness doesn't refer to a somber sensibility or dour expression. Ooh, that's all self-righteous. No. A gravity, a weightiness in our worship. And that eternal stakes are involved here. And it doesn't matter if it doesn't happen to be your particular musical flavor. What's being sung and communicated? Think on those words. They should be profounder than, he loves me, yeah, yeah, yeah. He loves me, yeah, yeah. You know, that's kind of catchy. It's repetitious. I think that could work. Seriousness is the one thing that can break through the irony-laced meme culture of Gen Z. Younger people instinctively recognize when someone is showy and superficial, and they know when someone's trying to sell them something. And our current methods and strategies, too often built around what older people think young people want. They want jokes. They want skinny jeans and untucked shirts. They want a cool beard. Whatever it is, we're guessing. Let's ask them, what do you want? And I'm telling you what they want because I've talked to them. And I see them on the university campuses rioting. Why? Because they want something and they're not getting it. They're simply not being given the opportunity to step into bigger works. We got that message. We have that offering that you can have an otherworldly life that is higher and more, not a Gnostic way, but God's way, built on something more durable than the latest trend. Wax. Young people want to be courted by the church, welcomed into fellowship, entrusted with responsibility, shown they matter. That should be natural. But more than anything, they want to be ushered into splendor, not superficiality. They're looking for an antidote to the shallow life of swiping and scrolling through endless entertainment. Can't help but think about architecture again. Look, not, don't feel like you've got to go get the wrecking ball and tear down your church if it's contemporary looking. But what the kids are experiencing when they step into a Duomo? Oh, whoever did this, they had loftier ideals. They had deeper thoughts. They understood something transcendent. Maybe, just maybe, if that, not the right reason, but if that becomes the trend, maybe we'll get back to building churches that are like, whoa, this thing actually speaks and says something. What does a generation as wax, crippled by anxiety, given over to digital compulsions and performative impulses, broken by relational fallout due to the corrosive effects of diminishing moral boundaries. What do they need? A clear and compelling vision of morality. A serious faith that's meaningful and rooted. And his plea is, let's call up the next generation and the generation after that and the generation after that. Not because it's a response to the trendiness of Gen Zers, but because that's what the Bible, that's what Jesus does. Calls us up. Don't be worried. Let the dead bury the dead. That's like, bang, what? Let the spiritually dead bury the physically dead. Or he was simply saying, don't wait the year so you can get your inheritance. Don't delay because I'm the best thing. Don't be longing for money. Long for me because I'm the best. That's the message and the offering of Christianity. And this generation needs to hear it. This is Wretched Radio.